And I'm going to have you join me when we get down to verse number 7. Verse 1 starts off, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Join in with me, verse number 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, that's good guidance given by David, being a man of faith, but at the same time, being a man of fear at times as well. If we're honest, we can identify with that. Sometimes in the strongest times of faith, there comes a seed of doubt and fear. And it's not diminishing our spirituality at all. It's just talking about our frailty and our humanness. And I think we would all have to agree with David. Sometimes we start off in prayer to the Lord with the greatest of faith, just to have the devil bring up something that brings a fear into our minds and our hearts. And David epitomizes that in song, and talks about some things that his Lord is to him. But I'm so glad that he's my light. I'm so glad he's my salvation. I'm so glad he's the strength of my life. And I hope that you are too. Amen. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to speak to our hearts this morning and work in us what only he can work. Father, we thank you once again for David. Thank you for, Lord, just the candidness of David and the openness of David talking about his fears. And Lord, being confident, and sometimes we think that faith and fear don't coexist, but in our heart of hearts, we know that sometimes they do. Lord, that's not your desire for us. You desire that faith would be there all the time without fear. Lord, we have to come to the realization, like David, we have reservations. And Lord, like David, you have to prove to us once again how good of a God you are, how mighty of a Savior that you are. You're not just our shepherd. You're not just good to us. You're our light. You're our salvation, and you're the strength of our life. Lord, as we approach this psalm today, maybe there's someone with some fears in their own heart. Maybe there's some things that are on the horizon for them, maybe medically speaking, maybe occupationally speaking, maybe parentally speaking, maybe socially speaking. Lord, there may be some things on the horizon that pose a certain fear in our hearts, Lord, because we don't know the outcome. But Lord, with you as our light, you as our salvation, you as the strength of our life, help us to face those fears with that same faith and confidence that we have faced in the past, things that have come before. And Lord, help us to dive into the heart of David, into the heart of God this morning, that our own hearts may be exposed and widely open to see what's there and investigate how we can become more Christ-like in what we think, say, and do. Lord, many are the needs of your people here today, and I don't know what each need is, but I'm so glad that I serve a risen Savior and a sovereign God who's omniscient and omnipotent. And Lord, you know every heart's need here today. Direct my thoughts, direct my heart, direct my lips to say what needs to be said, that the hearers might be ministered to by the Holy Spirit's power. And Lord, uncover the things that need to be dealt with today and help us to let you, by the Spirit's power, deal with each one. Then, Lord, help us to leave here differently than when we came in, more like Christ in what we think, say, and do. And Lord, may we be conformed and then transformed to the image of Christ's likeness and changed by beholding you in the Word of God. Each time the book of the Bible is open, Lord, we should be challenged and we should find what you want us to change or do or say or be for the glory of God. Possibly there's one here today without Christ. And Lord, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl, that they would know exactly what they need to do to be saved. And that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be saved. Hell awaits the person that's not saved, Lord, and that is not your desire, nor is that your wish. Lord, your prayer is that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth, and the knowledge of the Savior, and be born again. So work in our midst today. Restore, rejuvenate, refresh, and revive our hearts like only you can. Bless now the song that we'll be saying and open our hearts to prepare for the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Brother David's got a... Well, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little warm. Anybody hot here? Get the fans turned on, at least up front here for me. Say, preacher, you're not hot. Amen. I am. Amen. All right. So praise the Lord. Well, we're going to get into the second half of this psalm. And, you know, I have just started this year. And I tell you, I'm really, really excited about what God is doing. I'm not on, am I? I'm all the way off, brother. Even the power's off. Praise the Lord. Okay, now I'm on. There we go. You know, it's bad when the power's even off. You turn the button on and you're still not on. But I'm excited, you know, just going through what we've gone through so far and the Lord being my shepherd and the Lord is good. And then looking at my life, my salvation, the strength of my life. And there's so much more that God is wanting to be for your life and my life throughout this year. And again, we don't know what the Lord is going to need to be for us. But we do know this, that he will be what he needs to be. And I'm so confident about that, you know, and I don't know, maybe I'm just strange like that, but you get a little nervous when you look at a brand new year and you wonder what's going to happen. You know, you look at your loved ones, you know, I've got a mom and dad and I've been fortunate to have my mom and dad all these years. My dad's 85, 6, somewhere up there. Mom is 78. And I've been blessed to have my parents. And, you know, the thought always crosses my mind. Others have lost their parents. Is this going to be the year that I lose my parents? I've got three sisters, you know, and others have lost their siblings. And I wonder, is this going to be the year that one of my sisters goes home? You know, and the tragic accident with Kobe Bryant is just a refresher to remind us of the brevity of life. We're not promised tomorrow. And so going into a new year, I'm wondering, Lord, what am I going to need you to be for me this year? I really don't know, but I know this. That whatever I need, I know you're going to be it. And as much as we may want somebody else to be it, the Lord is saying, I want to be it. I want to be your all. I want to be your everything. And it is so comforting to know. David coming down here with Psalm number 27 here again. We don't know the background of what's going on, but we do know this in verse number 1. David said, the Lord is three things to me. He is my light. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He says, whom shall I fear? Then he says, the Lord, thirdly, is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He states that by faith, he can see this. He says, I can see, I am saved, and I am strong. Amen. And then he lists several things there down through there, verses 2 through 3, 2 and 3. He says, you know, I'm saved, I can see, and I'm strong through personal wars, verses 2 and 3. And then he says, I can see I'm saved and I'm strong for personal worship in 4, 5, and 6. And he began talking about all the things that he wants to do in the Lord's house. Amen. And then we come up to verse number 7 where it seems that David takes a little turn here. I don't know, maybe it's me. You ever been in prayer in confidence talking to the Lord and your faith is strong and you're talking about how good God is and what God has done for you and what he wants to do for you, and then you turn that corner and you come to that area where you don't know what he's going to do. And you come to that area where you see on the horizon maybe some things that could go wrong or some things that may be a little difficult. And you're not as confident as you just were just moments ago. Or worse, Satan brings up a sin that you did way back in the days and you were confident a few minutes ago, and then that thought comes into your mind as to what you did and you're not as confident as you were thinking about that sin. By the way, God has given you the assurance he's cast as far as the east is from the west, and you don't have to worry about him bringing that up. So you can chalk that up to the devil. If he's forgiven you, it's forgiven. Now, there may be consequences with that, but forgiveness is not an issue. And perhaps David, as he turned that corner, talking about his past deliverances and his potential future, that God was going to be there. I'm desiring to be in the temple, and I want to behold his beauty. I'm going to give these sacrifices of joy. I'm going to praise God. But then he comes to verse 7. Almost like it comes to a screeching halt. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The faith isn't so high anymore. He begins talking about enemies. He begins talking about God's anger. He begins talking about, I'm ready to faint. He begins talking about things that seem to be confidently under control prior to this. Verses 1. He said, he's my light, he's my salvation, he's the strength of my life, who should I fear? Verse 2, he said, my enemies, my foes, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3, he said, the host can camp against me. My heart's not going to fear. War can rise. I'm going to be confident. His worship, I desire to dwell in the house of the Lord, inquire. Verse 5, in time of trouble, he's going to hide me in his pavilion. Verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted above my enemies. But in verse 7, it seems almost like David is begging God to hear him. The one he's been talking to and talking about, he's my life, my salvation, he's going to do this, he's going to do this. And all of a sudden David says, hear me. Hear me. After detailing the past, the present, and the potential future with his Lord by faith, David states some things he had to face in fear. And even though David started out in verse 1 saying, the Lord is my light, I can see, he's my salvation, I'm saved, he's the strength of my life, I'm strong and strengthened, he states some things he had to face in fear. In his humanness, aside from the great faith, came some great fears in David's life. In verses 7 through 9, I want us to see David states, hear me, through personal weakness and prayer. Hear me through personal weakness and prayer. There's some times in our lives that though our faith may be strong, our fear rises too. And I've been there before. I've been confident about God's ability. I know what he can do. That's not a question, but I'm wondering what he's going to do now. What is he going to do now? David states, hear me through personal weakness and prayer. I may not always be the prayer warrior that I used to be. I may not be as confident as I used to be. I may not know what you're going to do on this situation or that situation. And so David says, hear me through personal weakness and prayer. David expresses urgency in verse 7. Notice what he says. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. No, crying is different from just a normal voice. A cry is a plea for urgency. He's crying, I need this, Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Why is David asking for mercy? We don't know. Perhaps he's thinking about sowing and reaping like we talked about in Sunday school. Perhaps there's something that he sowed way back yonder, and now he's wondering, is that sowing and that reaping going to come to fruition? God have mercy on me. Hear me right now. I don't know. But I do know this. I did a bit of sowing myself. And I do know this. Sometimes when I go to my Lord and I say, hear me, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want what's coming to me. I know what I did back then. I know what I did right now. I know what's coming. You know, Lord, I don't want it. He expresses urgency. Hear me. Before there seemed to be no question that God would hear him. But now he's questioning, is God going to hear me? And he's expressing this urgency. And he's asking for mercy. Christians in earnest often pray audibly, even when we're in secret. I don't know about you, but when I've got something very, very urgent for God, and I'm going to my God, and I don't care if I'm in my closet, I don't care where I'm at, I'm going to talk out loud. I'm not going to keep that bottled in. I'm going to let that be known to God. This is how I feel. I remember back when we needed the money for this building. And I talked out loud to the Lord. I said, God, I need this money. Lord, if we don't have this money, this is what's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen. We're going to lose this money. Your great namesake is at stake, not to mention mine. It was urgent. And David states, hear me through personal weakness and prayer. Then also David expresses not just urgency, but uncertainty. Notice verse number 8. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. In other words, David's saying, when you told me to seek you, by the way, it's different from seeking God's hand to seeking God's face. Say, preacher, what's the difference? Normally when I'm seeking God's hand, I want what's in it. When I seek God's face, I want him. I want him. And he said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, Lord, I'm going to seek you. I know you are the great giver, and I know that you're good, but I don't want what you have. I want you. I want you. I want you. My precious Faithy Pooh, sometimes she'll say, Dad, I want you. She don't care what I got in my pocket. She don't want my candy. Yeah. She said, I want you. Oh, give a big hug. Oh, baby. I want you. Boy, sometimes on my hand. But he said, I want you. We had to get some couch time the other day. And me and my honey got on the couch, getting some couch time, smooching up. And do you know these little rascals came to try to get our couch time? One was over there. One got down on the floor. G2 came and snuggled up over here. Didn't ask for anything. They just wanted to snuggle up with us. And we didn't want them to snuggle up at that time. We wanted to snuggle up with us. They had dishes to wash. I think they're just trying to get out of chores. They want to snuggle up with us. But we wanted to be with each other. I wanted Carmen. Carmen wanted me. And they seemed to want us. They didn't seek our hand. They were seeking us. David said, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. But there's some uncertainty. Notice how he expresses verse number 9. Hide not thy face far from me. David said, don't hide from me. But notice it doesn't stop there. Put not thy servant away in anger. What is David thinking about? Put not thy servant away in anger? You suppose maybe he's going back to something that happened a while back? Perhaps his mind changed gears and he thought, well, I'm suffering now for something I did. And so, Lord, don't be angry with me. Because the predicament that I find myself in, maybe it was my own fault. Have mercy on me. Don't hide your face. You said, seek your face. That's what I'm doing. Don't hide. Don't run. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me.
David expresses urgency and uncertainty. We don't really know what's going on with David in this fearful state. But hold your finger there and go back to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, also written by David. Notice what David says here in Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Question mark. Forever? Question mark. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? David wants to know, Lord, how long are you going to hide from me? What's going on? Notice verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? David wants to know, Lord, how long is this going to be? He's got urgency going on. Hear me. But he's got some uncertainty. Lord, how long is this going to go on? Hey, he was just confident in the previous six verses. He had uncalled for an unknown faith in the previous verses. But now, some fear set in. How long? How long? Come over to Psalm 30, verse number 7. David, again, speaking about the temple dedication. And he comes down in verse number 7. He says, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. In other words, he said, you made me what I am. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was what? Troubled. Troubled. He said, Lord, at those times when it seems like you're hiding your face, when you turned away from me, at those times I was troubled. You didn't look at me. You didn't consider me. You weren't there for me. That troubled me. And folks, it ought to trouble us too. Now, we know God sees us all the time. That's not the issue. But it could be that David did something to cause God to say, you know what? That's not right, David. And David said, I was troubled. I was troubled. Verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? So declare thy truth. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. What am I saying here? David says, hear me through personal weakness and prayer. I'm expressing urgency and uncertainty. I don't know if you're going to hear me, but don't hide from me. Wow, I've been there. And I wondered if God was going to hear me. Because certain things come to my mind, I think, is he going to hear me? Is this what he wants me to say? But then I've got to be honest. I'm just pouring out my honest heart. Lord, I wonder. I wonder. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I read something like that and things come to my mind and my heart, and I have to go to God and say, God, don't hide from me. Have mercy on me. I've done some things that I know I really don't deserve mercy, but Lord, have mercy, hear me. This is urgent, but I'm uncertain how you're going to receive it. I'm really uncertain. Go over to Psalm 69. Again, David here dealing with his fears in his prayer, weakness in prayer. He says, hear me, Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, verse number 17. Again, this is a psalm of David. And notice verse number 1. Save me, O God. The waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. Come down to verse 17. What does David say? Matter of fact, verse 16. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Speedily means in a hurry, hurrying hastily at once, quickly. He said, I'm in trouble now. And of all times, now is not the time that I want you to hide from me. Now I need you to hear me. Now I want you. Back over in the other song, he said, I need you now. Hear me. I don't know if you're angry with me, but have mercy on me. Here he says, speedily. For thy servant, here's a, hide not thy face from thy servant, for I'm in trouble. Hear me speedily. Psalm 102, you don't have to turn there, says the same basic thing. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Psalm 102, 2. Cline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. You know, there's one time when David said, I want you to hide. And go over to Psalm 51 for that one. Although David did not want God to hide from him, there's one time when David said, I do want you to hide from something. You know, Psalm 51, it's a penitential psalm when he had sinned with Bathsheba and he had to pay the consequences. And in verse number 1, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that I might be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. But notice what he does say, hide from in verse number 9. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. He says, Lord, I don't want you to hide from me. I want you to hear me. But Lord, there is one thing I do want you to hide from. My sins. My sins. He says, hide thy face from my sins. Don't look at my sins. Folks, if we're honest, we could join in with David. We come to God and we say, hear me. I've got an urgent request. I'm uncertain, but the one thing I'm certain about, don't acknowledge my sins. I've dealt with that. It's over. It's done. I want mercy. And Lord, hear me. Because I can't exist without you. I can't exist. He said, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. The struggle David faced is unknown to us, but it's very real. Go back to Psalm 27. But one thing we do know, David states, hear me through personal weakness and prayer. He expresses urgency. He said, I cry with my voice, hear me. He expresses uncertainty. He says, put not thy servant away in anger. I don't know what's going on in David's life, but I can tell you this, at times we're going to be there. At times we're going to be urgent to God. At times we're going to be uncertain what he's doing. And we still want him to have mercy and to hear us. So in verses 7, 8, 9, David states, hear me through personal weakness and prayer. But then we come to verse number 10. And David says, you know, Lord, I need you to help me through personal weakness with people. Personal weakness with people. What's going on with David's parents is not known, but we can know this, that people can't do everything for us. There is a limit that certain times people can't go any further. There's nothing else, humanly speaking, anyone can do for you. Now, at one time, David, to keep his family safe, shipped them off to Moab down there for a while when King Saul was after him for their safety. We don't know what time this is, and we don't know what's going on with the parents, but I do know this. Sometimes people are going to fail you. It may be your parents. It may be your wife. It may be your husband. It may be your children. It may be the parents that you have. It may be some friend that's going to let you down. And they can't help you. David says in verse number 10, my father and my mother forsake me, and the Lord will take me up. In other words, if my father and my mother can't be there for me, God's going to be there for me. If nobody else can be there for me, I know God's going to be there. My Lord's going to take me up.
come what may, they may try to be there for me, but they are detained or they are unable. They can't be there, but God will take me up. Amen. He said, I don't know what's going to happen. I do know this. He says, help me through personal weakness with people. I've relied upon them and I've trusted in them and they're not there for me. We have today what we call the generation gap. Mainly because of the truth, you know, we stop talking and stop trying to understand. We forget that we too were once young. We forget that we too once went through the same thing that the youngers are going through, and we expect them to understand us without understanding them. And we stop talking. And we stop trying to talk. We don't even text. We don't even call. My dad called me yesterday, and I saw it on there. And I'm not going to lie to you. I really didn't have time. But you know what I did? I made time. I took time. Why? It's the only daddy I got. That's the only dad that I have. And I don't know what this year's going to hold. I don't know how long he's going to be here. So when the phone rang, I said, I'm talking to my dad. I'm talking to my dad. I'm going to take time. I'm going to make time. Why? That's my dad. And I'm going to take time for my dad when I can. David said, you know what? They might forsake me. They may not be here for me. But guess what? God is. There was a time when, in the old days, everybody sat down at the table to talk and to eat. We were the late bloomers. I mean, we didn't eat sometimes till 10 o'clock at night in my home. Everybody was out doing this and that and the other. And we were a busy family. Everybody had sports, jobs, the whole nine yards. My mother made it a point. She said, we don't eat but one meal together. We're going to eat a meal together. And because she got up early in the morning and she left at 5, my dad left at 4. We went to school, had sports and things like that, and got home. My mom would make us all wait to eat dinner together. Sometimes we didn't eat till 10 o'clock at night. But you know what we did? We talked. We talked. Some of the best times of my life, I can remember sitting around that table and talking and eating and talking and eating and talking and eating. And then like most kids, when my mom said, well, it's bedtime, we say, what's for dessert? Let's talk and eat some more. Amen. Let's talk and eat some more. And we have missed the talking part. And we have gotten off into this electronic age where everybody's got a gadget to their ear. Everybody's got a gadget in their face, and we don't talk anymore. And we wonder why there's a generation gap. They don't understand us. We don't understand them. We don't understand their world. They don't understand our world. They can't understand us because they're not our age. We don't try to understand them, and we've been their age. But technology is different. But people are the same. They have needs. They want to be loved. They want to be heard. They want to be cared for. People are the same. David said, hey, look, Lord, help me through personal weaknesses with people. When they're not there, I know you will be. Psalm 38:21, he says, forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. But then David states something else, not just hear me through personal weakness in prayer, verses 7 through 9. And in verse 10, help me through personal weakness with people. But in verses 11 and 12, David says, help me through personal weaknesses with some paths that I've got to choose. Some paths I've got to choose. Whatever's going on with David and others, he wants God's help. Notice verse 11. He says, teach me thy way. By the way, do you know that the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death? There is a way that we could go. David said, I'm not concerned about my way. Teach me thy way. Ooh, if we could just learn a lesson right there. God, teach me your way. By the way, if you say, Lord, teach me your way, do you think he'll show you? If you sincerely want to know, he sure will. David said, he helped me through personal weaknesses with the paths that I choose. Whatever's going on, we don't know. But he says, teach me or prescribe for me how to deal with this path that I'm on. Notice what he says, not just teach me, but lead me. He says down there, Verse number 10, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. David, why do you want God to teach you? Why do you want him to lead you in this plain path? He said, because some enemies are ahead. By the way, the Bible still says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. The plain path means it's a level ground or even ground versus a rocky terrain. And he's saying, help me choose wisely when I'm dealing with my enemies. By the way, just because they are an enemy to you does not mean you have to be an enemy to them. Somebody say amen. Just because they want to be your enemy doesn't mean that you have to be their enemy. The same goes with friends. Somebody may not want to be your friend doesn't mean you can't be friends or friendly to them. Well, they don't like me. Well, who cares? You still love them in Jesus' name. You still be friendly to them. Well, they're not too friendly. Well, neither are you on certain days. You see G2 in the morning, you think he's ready to punch you. G2, time to get up. Get that little frown brow off. Wait a minute. Joshua, placid. Time to wake up, Joshua. Just placid. No expressions, just open his eyes. So you got one up here that looks like the Grinch who stole Christmas. Then you got one down here that's just late placid. Time to get up, Joshua. Morning, Joshua. And he says, I'm expressionless. Joshua wakes up. He's just like that. Faith wakes up. Boys can learn a lesson. Amen. But he says, lead me in a plain path, amen. David states, help me through personal weakness and path. He says, it's possible to choose the rough path of foolishness and fussing and fighting with our enemies, and then I regret it later on. He says, I don't want that path. I don't want fussing. I don't want fighting. I don't want foolishness. I want the path that's level, the plain path, the path of the just is as the shining light. I want that path. Lead me, Lord, in that path. Teach me. Give me the plain path because I got some enemies out. David states, teach me, lead me. But then verse 12, he said, deliver me. Protect me. Notice what he says. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies. He said, if you teach me and if you lead me, then I know you won't deliver me over to the will of mine enemies. You'll help me to navigate through them. You'll help me to get past them. You'll help me not to be foolish. You'll help me not to fuss or to fight with my enemies. I'm not going to want to provoke them in anything. By the way, it's foolish for you to provoke an enemy. You ask them for trouble. Well, I just had to give them a piece of my mind. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, I just had to tell them off, tell them how I feel. Why don't you tell God how you feel? There's a novel. Tell God how you feel. You know what God will say? Don't be so hasty. Don't be so hasty. He says, deliver me now over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He said, they're cruel to me. They don't want what's best for me. Again, we don't know what enemies David wanted deliverance from. It could be King Saul. It could be Absalom. It could be something else. But we do know this. Go over to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. Hold your finger there. Psalm 3. So we don't know what enemy. But we do know at one time, Psalm 3 came into mind dealing with Absalom. And notice what David says in Psalm 3 and verse number 1. He says, Lord, how are they increased that what? Trouble me. But wait a minute. Over the top of the psalm, notice what it says. A psalm of David when he fled from who? Absalom, his son. And so David is saying, hey, look, don't deliver me to the will of mine enemies. Give me wisdom. Teach me. Lead me. Don't deliver me. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. He says, Absalom's got a whole party with him. He's got most of the kingdom with him. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. Pause. Think about it.
But David comes back. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. He said, I don't have to worry about that. I know he hears me. Yeah, I've got some enemies, but the Lord's going to teach me. He's going to lead me. He's not going to deliver me to the will of my enemies. He's going to keep me safe. And by the way, David did come out of it safe. He said, I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. So people with no teeth, now you know what happened to them. Amen. Go back over to Psalm 27. David, in dealing with his enemies. Somebody just got that. David said, you know what? I know God is going to help me through my weakness in these paths. Because if I have to choose my way, I'll fight. I'll fight. Some of you are like that. You got an enemy? I'll fight. I'll show you who's tough. Take off my jacket. You better leave that jacket on. Punch you in your nose while you taking it off. So give you what's called a sucker punch. Got your arms. Who are you going to punch like that? Somebody pop you right on your nose. You better leave your jacket on. Roll up my sleeve. They'll punch you while you're rolling up your sleeve because normally you're looking down here. Pop you. Hey, I've seen some sucker punches in my days. I've seen some folks get clocked. And I'm thinking, you fool. See what you got? Amen. You should have ran. By the way, running is still not old-fashioned. Running is not old-fashioned. It'll save you a lot of headaches, heartaches, and woe. Running is not. Well, that's a coward. It's a safe coward. That coward will live to tell the tale the next day while the stupid fool sits there and gets shot. Hey, we live in a day and age now, folks will shoot you. You better run and zigzag while you are running, amen. I knew all the tricks on how to run. I had 3 sisters and no brothers. I knew how to run with the best of them. I knew how to zigzag. I could jump over fences. Amen. I could outrun dogs. Amen. I could do it all. Why? I didn't have anybody that had my back at home. When I went home to 3 sisters. I'll send my sister out after you. Yeah, right. That goes over real well. He says, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. David said, they're against me, so Lord, I need you to help me through personal weakness in this path that I have. Teach me, lead me, don't deliver me to my enemies. And then lastly, David says, hold me through personal weakness and patience. Verses 13 and 14, hold me through personal weakness and patience. One thing I believe we all have is a hard time in waiting. Especially waiting on the Lord. What is David waiting on here? We really don't know. But he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of living. In other words, I'd have given up if I didn't expect to see God do something. I'd have taken matters in my own hands if I didn't believe God was going to do something. I'd have navigated unwisely instead of waiting for God to lead me and to teach me and to deliver me not to the will of my enemies. In my own strength, I would have done something foolish, but I believed to see God work. I believed to see God work. We all have a hard time waiting. It was difficult for my wife and I to wait for children for 20 years. But guess what we had to do? Wait. Wait. It's difficult for some in marriage to wait. I waited for the right one, but continue to wait. It's better to marry the right one and be married for 20 years than to marry the wrong one and be married for 40 years. Amen. Marry the wrong one, you stuck with him till death do we part. Well, I'll divorce him. Then you're out of the will of God. It's better to wait. Waiting marriage is tough. Waiting in mentoring is tough. Folks get saved and want to grow up automatically overnight. It doesn't happen that way. Didn't happen to me that way. It won't happen for you that way. Parenting, it doesn't happen right away. There's a waiting process. You get tired of correcting. You get tired of repeating yourself. But then remember, your parents did the same thing for you. Somebody had to clean up after you. Somebody had to change your diaper. Somebody had to change your throw up or change your throw up. Clean up your throw up. Somebody had to feed you. Somebody had to wash your dishes. Somebody had to go after you and clean up after you. So wait. By the way, my dad still tells me to this day, he said, boy, some of the best years of my life was having all that on. He said, I miss that. I miss having y'all at home. I miss having you and Fee and Tanya here. He said, those were the best years of my life, having y'all here as a parent. Praise God. I hope I can say that when I get home. I hope I can say that. I'm praying I can say that. The best is yet to come. Honeymoon City, here we go. Amen. Amen. Folks, it's a tough way to get married. It's a tough way to get mentoring. It's a tough way to get maturity. Kids want to grow up. They want to drive. G2 wants to drive. They want to get older. Josh is going to be 13 on Wednesday. He can't wait to be 13. Faith can't wait. She's wearing mama's shoes. I can wear your shoes. I can wear your jewelry. I can carry your purses. I can wear your clothes just about. I can do all these things. Wait on maturing. Amen. Don't. Yeah. If you want to mature that quick, I'll give you some bills to pay. Amen. Show you what real maturity is like. Amen. Responsibility. Pay some bills. So we don't want that. Amen. We want to be adults but be kids at the same time. It's tough to wait in ministry. You know, you look around and you want folks to get saved, you want them to grow up and start tithing and get in the ministry and get called to preach. And you got to wait. Folks, there was a time we had a church full. Then it was empty. Then it was full. Then it was empty. Then it was full. Then it was empty. Then it was full. Then it was empty. Then it's full. Now we're halfway. But guess what, folks? It takes time. We have to wait. David said, I'd have fainted. Hey, many preachers quit and give up. I'm quitting. I'm through with this junk. Folks aren't getting saved. They won't grow up. They won't give. I'm just going to get out of it. Then what you do? Go to the world? David said, I'd have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in land. I believe to see God work. I believe God is going to work. I believe he's going to work in this church, in my family, in your life. I believe he's going. If I hadn't believed that, I would have fainted and given up a long time ago. Amen. I'd have fainted and given up a long time ago. I don't need this headache, Lord, to take it away. But I believe. I believe God. Now, it don't come easy. Parenting doesn't come easy. Marriage, it doesn't come easy. Mentoring and raising up young Christians doesn't come easy. Raising up your children doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. But it comes. David, going through a difficult time here, says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. He says, hold me through personal weakness and patience. I don't have all the patience that I need to have. I was reading one of Spurgeon's devotions, and he said, we must believe to see, not see to believe. Let's say that again. We must believe to see. I've got to expect it to happen, not see to believe. I see it, not believe. It was too late. Now it already happened. You got to believe to see, not see to believe. David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Goodness is a good thing, or welfare, or to go well with someone. Waiting in verse 14, waiting on the Lord, he says, is to expect or to look patiently. Being of good courage means to be cured, to be helped, to be repaired or fortified, to be recovered. So David said, I had fainted, I'd have given up unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I believe to see. I believe to see, and so I will see in the end. And so I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to be patient and look patiently and expectantly to the Lord. I'm going to be of good courage. I'm going to be cured. I'm going to be helped. I'm going to be repaired. I'm going to be fortified. I'm going to be recovered because I expect to see God work. Hallelujah and amen. Now, what's David going through? I don't know, but what are you going through? What are you going through? We can express all the faith in the world in verses 1 through 6 and then have that fear coming behind. But God hasn't changed. He's still the same. He still loves you. He's still good all the time, and all the time he's still good. He hadn't left us nor forsaken us. Just like David could end this psalm and says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. David's speaking to himself here. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Today we can praise the Lord for being our light, our salvation, and the strength of our life in faith, but also in fear. He's still our light. He's still our salvation. He's still the strength of our life. And we're going to have moments like this. You may have more than me. I may have more than you. You may have more on a certain issue. I may have more on a certain issue. God knows where you and I are at and where we live. But I believe this psalm speaks to us all in times of great faith, but also in times of great fear. Sometimes we just want God to be there. Like David said, to hear me in verses 7 through 9 through weakness in prayer. Sometimes we just want God to be there to help us through personal weakness with people, like in verse 10. Sometimes we just want God to help us through personal weakness in paths. We don't know what to choose when it comes to enemies, 11 and 12. Then sometimes we just want God to hold us through personal weakness and patience, and we're ready to give up. We just want God to hold us. You ever had to hold somebody when they fainted? Guess what? You hold all the weight. Because when a person faints, they can't stand up. You end up holding all the weight. David said, you know, I'd have fainted. I believe on occasion David probably did faint. God had to hold him up. He said, I'd have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. God had to hold me through my personal weakness with my patience. Folks, I'm not the most patient person in the world. Maybe you're not either. One of the things we hate to do is wait. But guess what David gives us? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One thing that you don't want to wait on is getting saved. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. He wants to be your light as well as your salvation. And if he's your light and your salvation, he'll be the strength of your life. And then like David, you can say, whom shall I fear? And even when I am fearful, guess what? In faith, I know he has me and he'll hold me. And if you're not born again today, let me encourage you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're not saved today, get saved. If you are saved, trust him with your faith and trust him through fear. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no looking around.